come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, the sound of rock cracking once again right here in the middle of the month of October. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. And wow, yes, politics are still splitting, rocks cracking, and we got a lot to talk about today. We will get into the tax reform plan of President Trump. We got some clips of him explaining that. We'll have some commentary on that. And it's exciting, although frustrating, to look at the senators, the Republican senators in the U.S. Senate. What's slowing them down? I don't think they want Trump to have any wins. I tell you, it's frustrating. So before we get into the tax reform plan of President Trump, we do have to talk about what's going on in the United States Senate. We covered very aggressively here the campaign between Luther Strange and Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama for the Republican nomination for the replacing Jeff Sessions. Luther Strange is the incumbent. He was picked, put there, and $30 million followed him to keep him in his place. But Judge Roy Moore with $3 million, over 10 to 1, folks, 10 to 1. Judge Roy Moore was outspent, but the people in the state of Alabama stood up to the establishment, and they made the Republican nominee, Judge Roy Moore. Now, some people tell you he's going to have a rough time beating a Democrat. Now, that if somebody knows politics in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore should win the general election. That's coming up in December. So, still, the race is not over. But what that did is, we talked about it, unleashed a lot of fear among some of the establishment Republicans in the Senate and some in the House, but especially in the United States Senate, where only seven are up for re-election, seven Republicans. Now, I think there's like 23 Democrats, maybe off of number two, but like 23 Democrats are up for election in 2018. This is the year, if things could get rolling, if the Republicans in the United States Senate could really and truly work with this president and get legislation passed, then all of a sudden, I believe there would be a sweeping change in America. We could get 60 possibly 60 Republican senators, and there would be no filibuster to worry about. And yet, we can't get the Republicans, they can't get Obamacare killed. They're working on tax reform. The president's laid out a good plan. Yes, it needs some tweaking, but are they going to be able to do it? They took off 6 weeks in the summer, and, you know, the job wasn't done, and it took off 6 weeks in the summer. I mean, we elect representatives to go to Washington to get the job done, and they haven't done it. The U.S. Senate has not done it. And that brings up what happened last week. Bob Corker, Senator Bob Corker, establishment senator, no doubt Republican in Tennessee, said he would not run again. So there's all of a sudden an open seat for the U.S. Senate. And what? There's a good, strong, conservative woman named Marsha Blackburn. And Representative Blackburn is in the House of Representatives, but she threw her hat in the ring just exactly. I think a lot of establishment was trying to get Governor Bill Haslam, Republican in Tennessee. He's term limited. It looked like that'd be a perfect step into the United States Senate, but he came out and said no, he wasn't going to do it. And just a few minutes later, Representative Marsha Blackburn said she's running for the United States Senate in the state of Tennessee. And already the liberals are pushing back on her. She has an ad and talked about a pro-life ad to put on Twitter, and Twitter wouldn't let her put it on. Now, they let her put it on an individual account and be retweeted, but they wouldn't let her place it as an ad. Now, was it offensive? Well, evidently Twitter thought it was. Take a listen and see what you think. Now, it's a rather long ad. It's introducing the reasons why she's running, and I do want to talk about that. But listen to this ad from Representative Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee.
The United States Senate. It's totally dysfunctional, and it's enough to drive you nuts. And that's why I've decided to do something about it. I'm Marsha Blackburn. I'm a hardcore, card-carrying Tennessee conservative. I'm politically incorrect and proud of it. So let me just say it like it is. The fact that our Republican majority in the U.S. Senate can't overturn Obamacare or will not overturn Obamacare, it's a disgrace. Too many Senate Republicans act like Democrats or worse. And that's what we have to change. Here in Tennessee, I fought my own party to stop a massive, job-killing state income tax, and we stopped it. We won. I know the left calls me a wingnut or a knuckle-dragging conservative, and you know what? I say, that's all right, bring it on. I'm 100% pro-life. I fought Planned Parenthood, and we stopped the sale of baby body parts, thank God. I shoot skeet, have a concealed carry permit for the gun that I do pack in my purse. I believe our government spends too much, grows too much, and is bankrupting our children's future. I believe in President Trump's immigration ban, and I'll fight with him every step of the way to build that wall. I stand for hundreds of millions of honest Americans who work hard and they play by the rules. And I stand for the greatest country the world has ever known. I stand when the president walks in the room, and yes, I stand when I hear the Star Spangled Banner. A great Tennessean who wasn't so politically correct himself once said, "One man with courage makes a majority." Well, courage comes in both genders, and I'm running for the U.S. Senate because I'll fight every day to make our Republican majority act like one. Too much is at stake. America needs a conservative revolution and leaders who are willing to fight in it. I'm Marsha Blackburn. That's why I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I would be honored to have your vote.
Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, now that is an ad Doc Holliday can get behind. I mean, I don't live in the state of Tennessee, but she hit all the points that need to be hit at this time. You know, when Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, it's changed a lot of things. The game is different. What Republicans used to think was the game, and you know, that's exactly why Luther Strange lost against Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama, because Donald Trump has changed. You don't have to have more money than the other person. Donald Trump was outspent by $500 million. Hillary Clinton spent $500 million more than Donald Trump, $500 million more, and she couldn't win the presidency of the United States. There's a frustration out there, and you heard Representative Marsha Blackburn talk about that, the frustration about the United States Senate, where legislation's being passed in the House and it's dying in the U.S. Senate. It's stacking up, and people are frustrated. And there's some good people in the United States Senate. I know the senators from Mississippi, but they're part of the establishment. Is it time for fresh faces? Is it time for new ideas? Or do we just keep hanging on to the past? And you know, this is what's so frustrating to conservatives, because Barack Obama came in 2008, and what a pitiful campaign John McCain ran. And many people, many conservatives, like, I held my nose and supported John McCain because I knew what was going to be unleashed on America by the most far left president we've had in decades and maybe ever. Because Barack Obama came in and we owed like $10 trillion. And when he got out, we owed $20 trillion. He doubled. He spent more than every president combined. And the social issues, we ended up with same-sex marriage. We've ended up with the Supreme Court making these decisions that Obamacare should have been kicked out by the Supreme Court. But no, you know. They changed it up. You know, if it didn't like the law, send it back to Congress. They're the ones supposed to make the law. But Chief Justice John Roberts rewrote the law, basically. And then said, it's constitutional. We won't go back and rehash 8 years of Barack Obama. But what I'm telling you is that there's so much frustration. Because I remember as the Tea Party began. And I spoke at many Tea Party meetings and sessions, and it was so frustrating because Barack Obama came in, he had the entire House, they had a filibuster proof Senate, they could pass anything they wanted, they could have got immigration any way they wanted it right then, and they didn't do it. I don't believe they ever wanted an immigration bill, they just wanted it as a wedge issue. But it was so frustrating because there's nothing Republicans could do to slow it down. They couldn't filibuster anything. And then the onslaught began. And we said, what do we do? And the Tea Parties, they said, you know, give us back the House. And it was, Nancy Pelosi had a huge advantage in the House. And I forgot how many was it, over 65 seats and more than that, that switched from Republican to from Democrat to Republican. And the House was given to the Republicans in a mighty wave. 2010, 2012, worked hard. Mitt Romney wasn't the kind of Republican nominee I wanted, but I held my nose. We voted, supported him, because I knew what Barack Obama would do with 4 more years. And you knew the same. Many of you did the same thing. Worked hard only to see Barack Obama get reelected. And I remember being depressed after that. I mean, really physically, spiritually, mentally depressed. And I realized I wasn't supposed to be spiritually depressed. You're never supposed to be. But that was just, I thought, what's a nation? Can we handle 4 more years? We survived. 2014, it didn't look like it'd be possible, but the United States Senate was given back to the Republicans. Mitch McConnell, you're the majority leader. Do something with it. And they couldn't get anything done. They repealed Obamacare, but they put it on President Obama's desk. And, of course, he vetoed it. And they passed it over and over to repeal Obamacare when President Obama was in the White House. Now when President Trump's in the White House, they can't do it. Is there a conspiracy against Donald Trump succeeding by the Republicans in the United States Senate? The House has passed it. Why can't the United States Senate? And that goes to the point, well, we got Republicans in the majority in the United States Senate, but obviously we must have the wrong Republicans. Is that, what do you think? Email me, let me know. Email me at Doc Holliday. There's a place to email me right on the front page there of the radio show. We have got to move on because we're talking about tax reform. And we are about to get there, but let me remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. There is so much every week. We can't pick out everything. So I try to talk about some things in a way that you won't hear anywhere else. Bring up some subjects you may not hear about. Some of you may not have heard about, you know, that from Representative Marsha Blackburn. What a beautiful commercial. But Twitter wouldn't let her put it out because of the pro-life message as an ad. And that's what we're up against in this culture that is getting to be very rabid against conservatives. So that's something we need to be aware of. Now, when I was talking about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I got to remind you, we do have some books you can buy. You can go right on the front page, and you can click on that picture. It'll take you to docholliday.org, and there I've got some books. You can order those right off the internet, and we'll be glad to get you those books. That helps us stay on the air. We appreciate those who have bought the books. If you haven't got one, pick one out. Our newest one is one we only have a chapter in. I got a chapter in a book called The Biblical Case for Israel. And if you want to get up to date on Israel, you need that book. All right? Get that. Anybody you know that's interested in Israel, which should be everybody in America, because so much of that tiny little country with, 8-9 million people, it seems like so much of the world revolves around Israel. And is there a reason for that? Read the book. And I do have a chapter in there about four Americans, and some you've heard of, some you may have never heard of, who blessed Israel, the nation of Israel. So that was what my chapter was about in the book. Now, I will take this time before we get in the second half of the show and President Trump's tax reform to tell you I'm planning, if Lord willing, I will be in Washington, D.C. This week. And as I'm recording this, so next show, I'm hoping to get you some updates from D.C., the Value Voters Conference, the Value Voters Summit they have each year. And you can check it online. A Family Research Council, others come together, put this together with conservatives to come in from around the country. We've got some great speakers lined up. So I hope to tell you what I see and hear at the Value Voters Conference. So next week's show, so be sure to listen to that. Now, take a listen to this from a band you've all heard of.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm a tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small?
Well, as the Beatles proclaimed, the tax man always cometh. And boy, if you run a business, do you ever know that? If you are working, and I hope most of you got a good job and working, but you know the tax man always coming for your money. When you go to the store and you buy groceries, the tax man cometh. When you go fill up your gas, your vehicle with gas, the tax man cometh. Everywhere you turn around, the tax man cometh. And guess what? President Donald Trump is leading the charge to change our taxes and hopefully for a much, much better experience with the tax man. You know, that tax man song is a little politically incorrect, isn't it? Because we could say tax woman, tax person. Well, as the Beatles, I guess we won't call them politically incorrect. But let's proceed. This is what President Donald Trump had to say.
Unemployment is at a 16-year low. Unemployment for African Americans is near its lowest point since the turn of the millennium. It's really a fantastic thing to see. Wages are rising. Optimism among manufacturers has reached all-time highs. GDP growth last quarter reached 3%, way ahead of schedule. Nobody thought that was going to happen for a long time. And this quarter, I believe, would have been better, but the hurricanes will have an impact. But other than that, it would have been, in my opinion, even better. Your government is working for you once again, not for the donors, not the special interests, but the hardworking, tax-paying citizens of our country. America is back on the right track, and I see so many red hats. Make America great again. That's what we're doing. Make America great again. But our country and our economy cannot take off like they should, unless we dramatically reform America's outdated, complex, and extremely burdensome tax code. It's a relic. Got to change it. We have to compete with other countries.
Let me jump in. The president is right. We have as a relic of the past, our tax code. It's awful. We got to compete against other countries. But before we let the president go on, I've just got to say, where have you heard those rosy numbers on the mainstream media? Who says that? I think someone said we've made like $5 trillion increase in the stock market since Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. $5 trillion? That's a pretty good economy as far as moving ahead. So don't slow this guy down. United States Senate, get behind him. U.S. House, get behind him. We got this chance of a lifetime, a chance of a generation for forces for economic growth to work well together. Ronald Reagan never had a United States Senate and a United States House behind him. Donald Trump does. Seize the moment. Come on, Republicans. Don't drop the ball when you're those Republicans in the United States Senate. Please don't drop the ball on this.
Current tax system is a colossal barrier standing in the way of America's economic comeback because it can be far greater than it's ever been. But we're going to remove that barrier to create the tax system that our people finally, and want and deserve. For several months, my administration has been working closely with Congress to develop a framework for tax reform. Over the next few months, the House and Senate will build on this framework and produce legislation that will deliver more jobs, higher pay, and lower taxes for middle-class families, for the working man and woman, and for businesses of all sizes.
Now, how can the liberals even, how can they not want that? And yet they don't. Basically, in a nutshell, we won't know the exact plan because Congress has got to mold it and shape it. But what President Trump is talking about, condensing I think there's seven different income tax levels based on what you make per year now. He wants to reduce that to three and possibly a fourth one for those highly very rich incomes. If maybe they need to be a fourth one there. But what I love about this, one party said a family should be able to put all their taxes on one sheet of paper. Would that not be wonderful? Think about the millions of hours across the country that have had to struggle with doing your taxes or taking it to an accountant or a tax expert because of all these just piled on tax codes, rules that the lay person just cannot understand. Now, the other thing he's talked about is giving a tax holiday, doing something to help for the corporations that have hundreds of millions of dollars that add up to trillions of dollars. We don't know, 2, 3, 4, could be more than that, trillions of dollars U.S. companies have sitting overseas because if they bring it back to America, then they will be taxed at like 35%. Knock that down. That money will start coming back to be invested, reinvested in America. It's a no-brainer. Democrats and Republicans should be all over top of that. And let's get it done. Let's get it done. Now, another thing that some people like, some people don't, get rid of all these loopholes. Now, this is what's interesting to me. You get the liberals. They say, oh, it's just a tax for the rich. It's just a tax break for the rich. Well, there's a lot of middle class in there. We have to look and see, and maybe it can be improved for the middle class. But one of the loopholes that we want to cut out is the exemption or being able to write off the state income tax, the state taxes. And, of course, the higher tax states are your liberal states, New York, California, Illinois. These states that are blue states, as far as Democrats control them and run them, have higher taxes. And so the middle class, they're talking about doing an exemption up to $24,000 for a married couple. where you don't itemize things. So the middle class should not get hit by not being able to itemize and write off their state taxes. It's because they're going to have a higher deductible, $24,000, to help alleviate that problem. But the rich people in Illinois, those who make high yearly wages, in Illinois, New York, California, the high tax states, well, they're not going to get to write them off. And then the Democrats are complaining about the rich people get the tax breaks. Well, they won't in the blue states. They won't in the high tax states. So what you crying about? This is so funny because the Democrats are saying it's a tax break for the rich, but the only rich people that won't get a tax break are the ones in the blue states that won't get the loophole they've been getting. So let Trump soak the rich. That's what he's trying to do. Tax the rich in the there just happen to be so many in the blue states. It is really funny when you think about it. Really funny, because the middle class in the blue states, they're going to be covered by the higher personal exemption. And like I said, $12,000, I think it's $24,000 what they're shooting for. So if you're middle class, you're not going to be itemizing higher taxes, state taxes, because you're already going to be covered with the higher deduction. The higher personal deduction, or filing jointly, $24,000. The only people who are going to really get hurt by the loophole that's going to be closed are the rich people in the blue states. And every state, but the higher your state taxes are, you're just not going to get to write them off. And it will hurt the very rich. And so you think Jimmy Kimmel's going to talk about that? You think Nancy Pelosi and Senator Schumer are going to talk about that? Well, let the world know, Doc Holliday says, soak the rich. If they got high taxes, they might want to think about moving to a state like, say, Mississippi. Come on down. Come on down. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that this tax reform plan is, it's getting people to think with some common sense. Every day, hardworking Americans should be saying, bring the tax reform and bring it now. Let's get the job done, Congress. Show us you can do something and work with this president. Republicans in Congress, I think it's do or die. I mean, if you can't get this done before the end of the year, then don't even try to run for re-election. That's what I would say. If you're a Republican and you can't get tax reform done before the end of the year so we can see what the 2018 midterm elections look like and shaping up to be, don't even run for re-election. I mean, do something. Do something. Well, that's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics this week. And that's what the theme I want it to be. Do something, Republicans. Do something, please. The American people are begging you. We put you into the House. We put you into the charge of the United States Senate. We put Donald Trump in the White House. What have you done for us lately? All right, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us here on webtalkradio.net. Next week, I hope to have some information to give to you firsthand from the Value Voters Summit in Washington, D.C., the gathering of conservatives. And there should be some good things to talk about next week. So don't miss next week's show. I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.